The U.S. has had a strong military presence in Germany since the end of World War II. Understand what removing U.S. troops from Germany could mean for the future of NATO and the world. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
The U.S. relationship with Germany has taken a catastrophic turn after Chancellor Friedrich Merz made a speech earlier in the week saying that the United States was being humiliated by Iran.
It's just true.
Saying that he believes that the United States and Israel began their war on Iran on February the 28th without any kind of plan. He sees no strategy whatsoever, no strategic plan on the part of the United States to find an off-ramp to this conflict. And that, of course, is now leading directly to the president threatening to reduce the size of the American troop force. There are 36,000 American troops stationed in Germany, 6 separate garrisons, 40 separate military installations, including, of course, the Ramstein Air Base and the Coordinating Strategic Command Center in Wiesbaden. This is exactly the kind of move you would be taking, not only if you wanted to punish the German Chancellor, but if you wanted to begin the process of withdrawing from NATO.
If this is how you punish Germany, we're certainly living in a different world than the world that developed following World War II. Has the United States forgotten why it stationed U.S. troops in Germany in the first place? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. A lot to get to. As I say, why did America put troops in Germany in the first place? You listen to some of the discourse today, and it's as if, well, we're there just strictly to protect Germany. Well, that might be a small part of it following World War II, but of course, the huge reason why, coming out of that world war, it was to protect America. It was to protect the world. Because coming out of that war, you had Churchill, you had Roosevelt saying, Germany can never, 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 never militarize again. It just can't happen for the safety of the world. I mean, this is a nation, Germany, that tried to conquer the world twice in the last century. And look at how quickly we forget that history. Herbert W. Armstrong, all through his ministry spanned much of the 20th century, from the 1930s all the way through to his death in 1986. And I mean, for that consistent half-century period, his signature prophecy, you could say, had to do with this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire that was to be led by a newly reunited Germany. And much of this has happened. I gave a Key of David program a few months ago on the new German war machine. And as it happens, people are applauding this. People are supporting this. People want this to happen. Mr. Armstrong, he was warning about Germany, this German-led empire. Even before World War II, he was warning all through World War II. And then even after World War II, when Germany, much of it, had just been left in rubble, he was saying, Germany's going to rise again. You better get ready. You better be prepared for it. This is from August of 1950. Mr. Armstrong predicted that the world will be stunned, dumbfounded, to see Germany emerge suddenly in a power never equaled by Hitler, by a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some at present puppets of Russia, in a gigantic United States of Europe. Soon the United States of Europe will emerge with Germany at its head. I mean, these puppets of Russia, they're now, that was back during the Cold War when he said this. This is in 1950. And he said some of those Russian puppets would join together with this European Federation, and they're now in the EU. So many of them, I mean, there's still some dramatic changes to take place. Revelation 17 says it's going to be downsized to 10 kings, 10 nations or groups under the leadership of Germany. That was Mr. Armstrong's signature prophecy for 5 decades. You saw it on his program, the radio program, then the TV program. It was all over the Plain Truth magazine. I mean, there were other prophecies, certainly, that he talked about, and so many of them are covered in our booklet. He was right. But the signature prophecy, you could say, had to do with the 7th and final resurrection of a German-led European empire. Here's just a sampling of some of the things he said over the years. Clip 1.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany. You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia. Now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
There you go. It went on for 50 years. Those warnings, based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. We had a program recently on the Olivet prophecy there in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Mark 13. Why don't more people talk about these prophecies of God? I mean, even preachers, they just skip right over it, I guess. And yet they're very sobering. As I say, we'll look at Revelation 17 here in a second. And if you have a Bible near you, please read along, because whether it's Matthew 24 or Luke 21 or Revelation 17, I mean, this is God's. I mean, God is speaking. He's speaking to us. He's pleading with us. He's reaching out to us. And hardly anyone is listening. You heard Mr. Armstrong say there, I mean, everything America has tried to do, I mean, it's ended up helping rebuild this 7th and final resurrection of the Roman Empire, prophesied in your Bible, whether it was the Marshall Plan or those institutions of the UN, NATO, all of these institutions were meant to preserve the peace of the world and really, if we're honest, to keep Germany down, because they had tried to take over the world twice. And this is nothing against the German people. God's going to use them in a powerful way in the world tomorrow and beyond. But that has been the history, modern history. It's been a war-making people. And so when you see the headlines at the Atlantic or wherever about them building a new war machine, a modern war machine, it should set off alarm bells. In fact, there was a time not that long ago when it did. There was a time not that long ago when American commentators understood that U.S. troops were put there in order to protect America and to protect the rest of Europe and to protect the world in that sense. And now we're talking like, well, pulling troops out of Germany, that's how we're really going to punish them. No, actually, it helps them, because the path is cleared for them to rebuild, for them to lead the way, for them to be militarized. So much of what Mr. Armstrong described in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, it's already happened. And now we've got the European military as that last unified force to develop. They're already unified politically in many ways, economically. You add the military to the equation, I mean, that is a dramatic fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Herbert Armstrong's signature prophecy. If you want to learn more about some of these prophecies, make sure you request, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? This is one of the classic works that Herbert Armstrong wrote so many, many years ago. And together with that, also request Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran. Here you see the United States right now in the midst of war with Iran. And as we've said so many times on this program, on my daily program, the Trumpet Daily, America's not going to finish the job. There's a big show of force. There generally is, but Leviticus 26 talks about our strength being spent in vain. Germany is actually the nation that's going to finish off that King of the South power. And again, that's a discussion for a different time or a different program. We can get into that later. But this one, Germany's secret strategy, it has a strategy. And it's not setting off alarm bells. It should be. Revelation 17, notice this, verse 8. It says, "The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Now, Mr. Armstrong was on the scene for the sixth head of the beast, which is why Revelation 17 and verse 8 is worded the way it is. He saw Hitler's machine. He was there. He was on the scene. He was sounding the alarm. And then following the end of World War II, he immediately sounded the alarm saying, look, the military machine has not been obliterated. The Nazi movement has not been destroyed. In fact, Revelation 17 says it went underground. And it's been underground for some time. Now it's coming out into the open and nobody seems bothered by it. Nobody seems worried. This is from Mr. Armstrong's autobiography. He said this back in 1945. So here we were coming right to the end of World War II. And Mr. Armstrong, standing alone, by the way, said, "We don't understand German thoroughness. From the very start of World War II, they have considered the possibility of losing the second round as they did the first. And they have carefully, methodically planned in such eventuality the third round, World War III. Hitler has lost. This round of war in Europe is over, and the Nazis have now gone underground. They plan to come back and to win on the third try." Now, if you don't believe that, well, stick around and watch it unfold. Because so much of what Mr. Armstrong talked about as part of that, it's already been fulfilled. Germany has reunited. He didn't live long enough to see that happen in 1989. He died in 1986, but he was predicting it for decades. And I gave you the quote where it said those Soviet satellites would swing over into the European camp. That's happened. You had the economic union. You have the political union, and now you're getting the military union. And incredibly, it has America's blessing. It has Britain's blessing. As I say, no one seems bothered by it. It's a different time we're living in, very different from the days that followed World War II. In 1945, President Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, they had a joint statement where they said, "It is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism, and to ensure that Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world, we are determined to disarm and disband all German armed forces, break up for all time the German general staff that has repeatedly contrived the resurgence of German militarism, remove or destroy all German military equipment, eliminate or control all German industry that could be used for military production. That's why the U.S. put troops there, to ensure that this happened. And now those industries, they're switching over from producing cars or automobiles to military equipment. And we've talked about this on the Key of David as well. We're standing alone, just like Mr. Armstrong did following World War II. But look, even Churchill and Roosevelt, they knew this is our objective here. This is the purpose for putting American troops in Germany, for building American bases in Germany. Verse 12, this is still Revelation 17, it says, "And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." This is referring to the United States of Europe. 10 kings that receive power. They come together. Daniel 2 talks about it being a mixture of iron and clay. And looking at all the participants in Europe, you can see why the Bible describes it as such. Because you're bringing in a lot of different peoples and cultures and ideas and views, but they come together for 1 hour, for a short time, and there is power there, and there will be unity. And you can see all of these forces pushing them in that direction, including the United States leadership. Mr. Armstrong's prophecies, what he talked about, we're seeing them happen. Verse 13 says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." See, this is the very opposite of democracy or giving people a vote. It talks in Daniel 8 about a man coming into power through flatteries, a strong man to lead a strong Europe. And again, there's a lot of people right now that just want to dismiss the fact that Europe could ever be strong, or that it could ever have an empire, or that it could even have a strong leader. But that's coming. Just wait. Just wait. It's happening. This is, you heard there in the opening clip that we played, again, this catastrophic friction that's there between German leadership and the United States leadership, President Trump and Merz in Germany. And a lot of it, at least most recently, got started when Merz criticized President Trump and the war effort in Iran. This is clip 5.
Today, Germany's Chancellor Friedrich Merz spoke out against the U.S. strategy in the conflict in unusually strong terms. In fact, he said there is no strategy.
The Americans clearly have no strategy, and the problem with conflicts like this is always that you don't have just to go in. You also have to get out again. We saw that all too painfully in Afghanistan for 20 years. So this whole affair is, as I said, ill-considered, to say the least. At the moment, I cannot see what strategic exit the Americans are now opting for, especially as the Iranians are obviously negotiating very skillfully, or rather very skillfully not negotiating. And letting the Americans travel to Islamabad only to leave again without any results. An entire nation is being humiliated by the Iranian leadership, in particular by those so-called Revolutionary Guards.
America is being humiliated, he says, by the Iranian leadership. And when you look at the negotiations for peace, I mean, there's some truth to that. But let's just focus on the dispute or the criticism. When it's aimed at the Trump administration, there's plenty of people in that administration that don't like that. And so President Trump, for his part, he said recently the United States is studying and reviewing the possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. As you heard in the cold open, I mean, this is what's viewed as punishment. This is America's reaction to Merz's criticism of the Iran war effort. We're going to punish Germany by leaving Germany and leaving Germany to go it alone. Well, what has been the history when that's the case? When Germany has the power to go it alone and the rest of the world just stands by and says, well, go ahead, sure. Build up a war machine. That's fine. They did it in the 30s. And it didn't really alarm too many people, did it? I mean, it did Winston Churchill. But most in Britain and most in America were fast asleep. And they thought it was no problem. Just stay out of the conflict. Once Hitler went on the march, just keep to ourselves. Isolate. Everything will be fine. And how'd that work out for the United States and Britain? How soon we forget that the primary purpose for positioning U.S. troops in Germany, it was to keep Germany down. That was the primary purpose for establishing NATO, to keep Germany down. Now it seems a lot of nations want to prop Germany up. A lot of nations want to empower Germany. A lot of nations are applauding Germany for taking the lead, for building a war machine. Is this a good thing? Well, we're going to find out pretty soon. American troops, the Trump administration now considering withdrawing American troops from German soil. Listen to this clip from Fox News, clip 6.
More than one-fifth of U.S. active duty troops that are based overseas are based in Germany. And now the president is threatening a drawdown after sparring with German Chancellor Friedrich Merz over Iran. He posted this: the United States is studying and reviewing a possible reduction of troops in Germany with a determination to be made over the next short period of time. His frustration bubbled over on Tuesday when he posted, the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, thinks it's okay for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If Iran had a nuclear weapon, the whole world would be held hostage. I'm doing something with Iran right now that other nations or presidents should have done long ago. No wonder Germany is doing so poorly, both economically and otherwise.
Just think about how many earth-shaking decisions or actions are being taken because of, you know, pride or vanity or maybe a back-and-forth criticism publicly. One leader saying one thing about the other and then the other responding. And now, I mean, we're going to pull out of Germany. We're considering it. And this, as I say, is seen as punishment, I guess. Following the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986, my father's written before about the late 80s, early 90s, and how we entered into a time of no more delay. And that, I mean, that coincided with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 and Germany reuniting. And I mean, it's taken some time for the political union, the economic union, the military union. But I mean, with God, 1,000 years is like a day. I mean, it's only been 35, 36 years. Look at how much has changed in that time. Dramatic events unfolding. If Mr. Armstrong were here today, I mean, he would be sounding the alarm. You can see why Jesus told us to watch, that would be watch world events, and to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's talking about his second coming, to stand before Christ at his return. God says, watch. He says, watch world events. He says, stay close to him. Make sure you're praying earnestly. Make sure you don't bog down in riotous living. Verse 34, just to back up a bit, it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or weighed down or oppressed. That's what it means. With surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. It says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come suddenly. And a lot of the sound bites that we've played on my daily program, the Trumpet Daily, that we've played over the years, I mean, he talks about the suddenness of these prophecies being fulfilled, happening just like the snap of a finger. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and elsewhere. Are you prepared for what's coming? Listen to one last clip from Herbert Armstrong, clip 7.
When Jesus said, watch and pray, for you know not the hour, he was talking about our time and our generation now. And we're not taking it seriously enough, brethren. We're taking it nonchalantly. Oh, yes, we've got the truth. The other churches haven't got it. We're pretty cocky. We think we're pretty good, or do we? We better quit thinking that, and we better get a little better and a little closer to God than we are. I hope you'll take this home to yourself and that you'll spend a little more time on your knees from now on.
Now is the time to draw closer to God so that we're ready for what's coming. Germany's secret strategy to destroy Iran. That's the next chapter to play out in this whole Iran affair. And then, of course, for a broad sweep of Bible prophecy, particularly with respect to the Holy Roman Empire, the seventh and final resurrection, make sure that you request who or what is the prophetic beast. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Germany's Secret Strategy to Destroy Iran and Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.